This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko with you for the next hour, recapping everything that's happened with this Nationals ball club over the last week or so. Nationals going into play later on tonight at Nationals Park at 4-6 on the young season. Have dropped back-to-back games now after they had a little mini three-game winning streak going. They'll look to get even in their series with the Orioles tonight. Austin Voth will take the ball for the Nationals in his second start of the season. Got a good show for you over the course of the next hour. Going to talk to a couple old buddies from this Nationals team. Had a really fun conversation with Denard Span the other day, a fan favorite in his time here as a National, roamed center field, posted up in the leadoff spot, and delivered some big moments. And I caught up with Denard recently to talk about his time as a National, as well as his newly announced retirement. Denard making the decision just a few weeks ago to retire from professional baseball, so we talked to him. Also talked to another former National, Brian Dozier, who was back in town with his new ball club, the Mets, just a few days ago, and had a quick conversation with Doge Daddy, which was a lot of fun, so we'll play that for you as well. Also talked to Jake Burns, Nationals Executive Vice President of Business Operations, and Gregory McCarthy, who handles things from a community perspective with this Nationals organization, talking about a couple exciting things going on with the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. So a couple great conversations there with Jake and Gregory that we will play for you as well. First of all, one thing, I'm going to start positive here because I'm a positive guy. I consider myself that way. Yes, the Nationals are 4-6 thus far this season. Yes, they haven't gotten the bats going the way that they would ideally like, but they, to this point, are starting to look like the Nationals roster that we expected. They're going to get Steven Strasburg to make his 2020 debut tomorrow at Nationals Park, dealt with some nerve stuff in his right wrist area that has prevented him from making a start through the first couple weeks of the season. But the World Series MVP from 2019 is finally going to toe the rubber at Nationals Park tomorrow. Great news for this Nationals ball club, obviously. You get Juan Soto back into the fold. Soto, incredibly frustrated and deservedly so, with what he and the Nationals organization feel was a false positive COVID-19 test that he took 2 days before the Nationals were set to open their 2020 season, found out on opening day that he had tested positive and was not going to be allowed to start the season with his teammates. Went through the whole quarantine period, tested negative again and again, and finally got cleared by Major League Baseball, got cleared by the DC Health Department to rejoin the Nationals and get back on the field. And he spent the last two ball games in the Nationals starting lineup, hitting cleanup and playing left field, and it feels great to have Juan back. I feel so happy for him. He loves the game so much. Anyone that watches him play can sense that. And he brings an air of excitement and positivity and enthusiasm to his dugout and to his team. And they've missed that while he was out the first week and a half of the season or so. So great to have Juan Soto back. Also big news for this Nationals team. that Max Scherzer looks like he has avoided, you know, a serious injury scare. Max leaving, what was it, Wednesday night's game against the Mets after just one inning with what turned out to be just a tweaked hamstring. Max, in each of his last two starts, the day before that outing, has felt his hamstring kind of grab on him a little bit. His start against the Blue Jays, it didn't really bother him much at all. He was able to pitch through that minor hamstring tweak and pitch really well, pitched into the eighth inning and didn't allow a run. His last time out against the Mets, though, it did grab on him, and he felt like he couldn't really drive off of that right leg as much as he needed to. Anytime you see Max Scherzer leave a start, you know something is wrong. He's going to pitch through as much as he possibly can. We've seen that in his time in a Nationals uniform. So he walks off the mound after just one inning, and you're a little concerned about that. But Max announcing immediately after that game that he actually showed up in the press conference room on the Zoom call with reporters with a smile on his face, which was certainly reassuring to everyone who was watching that, saying that he feels like he'll be able to work through this tweaked hamstring. He was out there at Nationals Park yesterday going through some running drills in the outfield before the game. So he as of now, he and the Nationals hope and expect that he will be able to make his next turn in the rotation. So there are the positives, and there are some more positives, certainly. The bullpen has largely been really good, including a new dynamic duo at the back of the bullpen with Daniel Hudson and Tanner Rainey, who has just been lights out thus far this season. Starlin Castro has looked fantastic early in his Nationals tenure, and some more pluses kind of up and down the roster. The negatives here are as follows. In the Nationals' six losses, they have scored a total of just six runs. And it's clear from seeing that they just don't have their timing right now. And this is what happens when you have a few scheduled days off in there, going along with last weekend having their entire weekend series against the Marlins postponed because of the COVID-19 outbreak on Miami's roster. So going into last night's game, the Nationals had only played two games in a week-long span, and when you're a hitter and you're used to getting consistent at-bats every single day for the most part during a season, only playing two games in a week is not ideal. When you're a starting pitcher, like Aníbal Sanchez last night, and you are used to taking the ball every 5 or 6 days, and you don't have that normal routine, that's going to throw you off. Aníbal Sanchez's last start prior to last night's ball game came back on July 27th, and he had to sit around and wait a lot longer than he's used to. It affects hitters. It affects pitchers. And, you know, it certainly might sound like excuses, but it is the reality. The Nationals have been dealt a little bit of an unfortunate situation when it comes to their schedule. They want to get out there and play, and they want to get into the groove of a season. And it's hard to do that when you're playing so infrequently. So obviously perspective during the times that we're living in is very important. And the Nationals have avoided a COVID outbreak on their roster due to the diligent work of all the players and staffers and coaches, as well as the Nationals efforts that they have put in when it comes to the CDC guidelines and adhering to masks and social distancing and all of that. They've done a really good job of avoiding that. But these are the situations that can pop up in a season amidst the pandemic. And the Nationals aren't complaining about the schedule that they've had of late, but they're looking forward, trust me, to getting into a bit of a groove here over the next couple weeks. So, a couple games left against the Orioles over the course of this weekend, which have, you know, give Davey Martinez's group a chance to turn things around. And then finally they will head out on the road. It's kind of crazy that, you know, we're 2 weeks into a season and the Nationals still haven't headed out on the road. They will get that soon. Wish you had a personalized World Series ring? Of course you do. Now is your chance. Your reigning champions invite you to enter for a chance to win a genuine 2019 World Series ring. To enter, visit natsringsweeps.com and make a $25 donation to Nationals Philanthropies, the official charitable arm of the Washington Nationals. Very cool thing there. When we come back on Nats Insider, play my interview with Denard Spann, one of my favorite guys from this Nats roster over the last handful of years. We'll chat with Denard when Nats Insider comes right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Battle of the Beltways underway at Nationals Park over the course of this weekend. Orioles at Nats. Game two of that three-game series between the Beltway rivals will be later on this evening. Orioles got off to a surprising start to the season. Did get swept by the Marlins over the course of the last few days, so they've come back down to earth a bit. But two more remaining between these Beltway rivals over the course of this weekend. People throughout the Beltway area knew this guy pretty well during his 3 years in D.C. Denard Spann was a fan favorite in his time in a Nationals uniform. Another of Mike Rizzo's many great trades. Mike Rizzo sent pitching prospect Alex Meyer to the Twins for Denard Spann prior to the 2013 season. And it's kind of remarkable to me, looking back on it, that Spann only played 3 years in a Nationals uniform. It felt like much longer because he ingratiated himself to fans, to media members so much in his time here, and he made so many big plays in a Nationals uniform. Had a couple really successful seasons, battled injuries in his final season in D.C., and then went on to play a couple years for the Giants, a little bit for the Rays as well, before very recently announcing his retirement from Major League Baseball. One of my favorite guys that I got a chance to cover in my time as a sideline reporter on our Mass and TV broadcasts, just a fantastic human being, and it helped that he was a really good ball player as well. Always great to get a chance to talk to Denard when he was a National, and now that he's retired and living at home in Florida, I got a chance to catch up with him just the other day to talk about his tenure with this Nationals organization, what he is planning on doing in his next career, I guess you could say, now that his spikes have been hung up, and just his thoughts on retirement in general. This is a guy who admits that he wasn't exactly excited about the idea of retiring, wanted to keep playing, and felt that he had something left in the tank, and was very open about just kind of how the negotiations went on over the course of the last year plus that landed him now as a retired former Major League Baseball player. So great conversation with Denard, and here it is now for you in full, myself and Denard Spann.
Man, it feels like a little bit ago since Denard was here in D.C. I guess it was only a few years ago. And Denard, it's great to get a chance to catch up with you again, man. We were just talking, and I guess it's been back since like 2017, 2018, since I last saw you when you were in San Francisco, and a lot has changed for you since we did last cross paths. You're a daddy two times over now. You're moving on to the next stage of your life as a retired baseball player. So just congratulations, first of all, man, on everything that's gone on with you over the last couple of years. How you doing overall, and how are you kind of adjusting to this new stage of your life?
Thanks for having me, first of all, Dan, and good to see you as always. And yeah, man, I've 2 years now. I haven't played since 2018, and so right now, yeah, I'm in full-time daddy mode and full-time husband mode. And honestly, it's been a little different, but it's been nothing but joy for me just being here full time, watching my kids grow 24 hours out of the day, and just being there has been awesome.
Now, you just announced your retirement within the last, couple months now. You had kind of hoped to continue your career, and I know that given the state of the game now, everyone's trying to get younger and cheaper, and that just kind of is what it is, unfortunately. What were your goals in terms of how you wanted your career to end, and now that it has, wrapped up, how do you kind of assess where things did leave off for you on the playing side?
Well, I think one of the toughest things that I had to do was make this decision to decide to retire. And the reason why I say that is because I know that physically I can still go out there and play and still play at a pretty good clip and at a pretty good productive level. But for me, like we started off this conversation, my life is totally different than what it was 4 or 5 years ago. I have a family to look after. And so for me, I felt as if certain things needed to line up and to be in place in order for me to play. And, when those things weren't met and weren't lined up, then, it didn't make sense for me to strap it on. So, as difficult as it was, at the end of the day, I just wanted to be treated fairly. And I didn't feel like I was – the offers that I got were from a fair place. So I decided that my family deserved all of my time.
Denard Spann joining me now on Nats Insider. And, Denard, one of my we had a bunch of interviews over the course of my time as the sideline reporter on the TV broadcast in your years in D.C. One of my favorite moments that I shared with you on air was during the clinch celebration in 2014 in the visiting clubhouse at then Turner Field. And you talked about your connection to the Nationals organization and how you felt like this organization helped you achieve something that you hadn't to that point as a player. And you didn't mean that as a knock on the Twins. It was more about what the Nationals had helped you accomplish and achieve. Now that that is a few years in the past, how do you reflect on your time with the Nationals organization and what those few years meant to you?
I still feel as if, my time in D.C. was kind of like a full circle moment for me because, as a man, as a ball player, I feel like my game and my maturity on and off the field came together right at the right time. I feel like the relationship between myself and the organization came right at the right time, and it was something that I'll always be grateful for. I remember that conversation vividly in the locker room in Turner Field after we clinched. And I remember saying what I said. And I think some Minnesota Twins fans took it the wrong way. And it was, like you said, it was not a knock on that organization. It was really just to give praise to the Washington Nationals organization, the way they welcomed me into the organization, just the way they helped me elevate my game. It was the best thing for me. Secretly, I wish I would have been a National a couple years earlier than that when I had some youth on my side. But, Washington is an organization that I revere and I have so much respect and love for.
You had a hell of a year that year in 2014. You ended up above 300. You set a team record for single-season hits, which still stands tied by Daniel Murphy a couple years after you left. But that was a heck of a season for you. And I think one thing that I always think about when I think about your game here in DC those years was your defensive ability. And people talk about defensive metrics. And one thing that I always use as my personal kind of barometer for how effective those defensive metrics are is they never rated you highly in terms of your defensive ability. But those of us that watched you on a daily basis saw how clean your routes were, how you almost never needed to leave your feet because you always ended up getting to the ball while you were on your feet. How do you just assess, you admitted that, you were a little bit older in your career when you were here in D.C. How do you assess those years that you did have here in terms of your production, both offensively and defensively?
From when I was in D.C. or before I got to D.C.?
When you were here, when you were a National.
You know what? When I was a National, I remember the defensive metrics. I was an above average defender at the time, but I wasn't considered elite. And I remember before I got to D.C., obviously I was in Minnesota, but defensive metrics wasn't a thing. You know what I mean? And I almost wish that, you know, I would have played in my prime when defensive metrics was a thing, I guess. You know what
right.
I mean? But that wasn't the case. But you saw even that – I think I came to D.C. at 28 or 29, so I was you know, still fairly young, but obviously not 24, 25. But, you know, I would say I anybody that watched me during my pregame routine, they saw that the way I tracked the ball, the way I shagged, I did it with intent. I did it with a purpose. And it was something that I knew that I could bring to the ball field every single day was my glove and my defense. And the reason why I say I wish that I would have been in my prime when the metrics what was a huge thing was because now guys are getting paid for their defense. Back then, when I was 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, defense, that there was no way to measure that. So guys weren't getting paid off of that. Guys were just getting paid off of, you know, how many home runs and RBIs and average they hit. So the game has evolved, and I'm glad that it has been because it's opened the door for more players like myself.
Do you have particular moments in your few years as a national that still stand out to you as one or two favorites?
Yeah, I would say off the top of my head, it was my first season in 2013.
Yeah.
I think it was a game-saving catch against the Giants, and I dove out and caught the ball. And for me, that was probably – the first meaningful play that I felt like I had in a Nationals uniform.
The pitch. Breaking ball hit in the air to left center field. Span of the run. On the run, way back. He dives. He caught it. He caught it. It's a diving spectacular catch to end the game. Unbelievable. Denard Span has done it again. He saves the night.
It was a difficult transition for me leaving Minnesota, been there for 10 years and then coming to a new organization where in a lot of ways, a lot of eyes were on me. And I felt, you know, I felt that pressure a little bit from the organization, my teammates. So for me to make that play, it made me feel as if like, you know, I'm one of the guys, you know what I mean? I finally have arrived and have done something to help this ball club win. And then later on that year, I ended up having I think it was a 29-game hit streak, and that helped turn around my season that year as well. And so those are the top two moments my first year that stood out.
Denard Span joining me on Nats Insider. I still remember Denard when Matt Williams pulled you off the field after you got a hit in game 162, which ended up being Jordan Zimmerman's no-hitter, thanks to Steven Souza Jr.'s catch there. But the ovation that you got from a packed Nats Park after you had set, you know, the team record for hits, that was a goosebump moment even for me. So I'm sure, you know, that one still kind of means a lot to you as well. I know that you developed a connection, not just with the organization here in DC, but with the community, with Nationals fans and with people here in this city. And you've stayed in touch with some of them that you met through your Spanning Foundation. I remember a kid, Drew, that you met here in DC that you flew out to San Francisco when you were a member of the Giants. And he got to partake in the whole game day experience out there. How did that foundation allow you to connect to the DC fans on another level in your time here?
I mean, it was huge because I had the opportunity to not only, you know, put on the uniform, but once a month I would spend almost an hour with different children, different families. And like you said, Drew, you know, it just seemed like, you know, we had this connection from day one. You know, I could tell he looked up to me, and everything that he tried to do, he tried to mirror it after me. And so I think that's the reason why him and I, we still have a relationship. I still talk to him through text message. We follow each other on Instagram, but just using my foundation and my platform, it allowed me to, I think, once again, connect with the fans and connect with the city on a different level. And that was honestly, that was the first time I had ever done that. I didn't do that in Minnesota the way we did it in D.C. So it was just it just was an awesome idea from the Nationals Community Center to do that. And, you know, just was a lot of fun times for me.
Dan Kolko joined by Denard Spann, former National here on Nats Insider. And Denard, I'll let you get back to your two beautiful kids and daddy life, as you called it, in just a minute. Last question, though. I mean, it's always the question that you ask guys when they hang up the spikes and they tuck that jersey away is, what's next? You know, like you have a lot of things that I'm sure you could get into in the baseball world if you wanted to. I'm sure there are a lot of things outside of baseball as well that could be open to you. What do you have planned? What do you have in mind for what this next phase of your career could be?
I would say I'm keeping my options open. You know, I have plans to do things outside of the game. You know, I'm about to go back to school and finish up my degree. That's something that is important to myself as well as my mother. I always promised her that I would try to go back and get my degree once my baseball career was over with. And then secondly, within the game, you know, I would love to spread my wings and give, you know, as much knowledge that has been given to me, spread it down to some of the younger players. So, you know, I'm keeping my options open, but I think sky's the limits, you know, for myself. And I'm excited about this next chapter of my life.
And hey, man, if you ever want to, you know, venture into the broadcasting world, we'd love to have you over here back in D.C. Maybe toss you on set with me and we chop it up a little bit.
I would love to do that, man. Just
fantastic.
Let me know, man.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, I'll hit you up. Denard, okay. Thank you so much for taking some time, man. It really is great to catch up with you. You're one of our all-time favorites, and I'm not just saying that because you're here with me. We really did love having you in D.C., and it's been great keeping up with you over the years. So glad you're doing well, man. Best to the family. And hope to catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you guys. One love.
The best ticket offer in baseball is now available to everyone. Purchase a new 2021 season plan by October 1st to receive a free 50% bonus credit. Flexible and affordable plans start at just $18 per game. For details and information on how to get your 2021 season plan, visit nationals.com/ticket finder. When we come back, I'll talk to another former National. Brian Dozier was in town just a couple days ago as a member of the Mets to play the Nationals in a quick two-game series, and I got a chance to catch up with Doge Daddy to talk about the World Series run last year. Love that guy. That conversation coming up for you next on Nats Insight. Welcome back to Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko with you, taking you up to the top of the hour, and we had an interview with a favorite former National last segment, Denard Spann, and we've got an interview with another favorite former National for you this segment. This one's with Brian Dozier. He was only here in D.C. for 1 year, but what a year it was for this Nationals organization and for Brian Dozier, who made his presence felt in that clubhouse. And Nationals fans, I think, very quickly learned just how fun-loving a guy Brian Dozier is. A fantastic teammate. Everybody loves this guy. A guy that felt bad that his Spanish-speaking teammates, you know, that come from Latin American countries have to come here to the States and learn English. He felt that kind of unfair earlier on in his career. And so he went and became fluent in Spanish to try and make things a little easier on those guys who are in uncomfortable situations sometimes being around a lot of English speakers, maybe don't feel like they totally fit in. Brian Dozier went the extra mile and learned Spanish so that he could communicate with them in their native tongue. And just a great dude. And we miss having him around here. I know that the guys inside the clubhouse do as well. I got a chance to catch up with Brian Dozier when he was in town here just a few days ago. Doge now a member of the Mets. And we were able to set up a Zoom call. Shockingly, Doge kept his shirt on for the entirety of the Zoom call. I don't know how that happened, but he did. Here now is that conversation with Brian Dozier, one of my favorites from last year's World Championship team.
Doge, first of all, what did it feel like being back at Nationals Park last night? You were celebrating with the guys that you were going up against last night. Only a few months ago, you were celebrating a World Series championship, and now you were opposing them. What was last night like for you?
It was awesome. Obviously, these circumstances with everything. But I got to catch up with all the guys. I've been talking to them. I mean, it seems like almost every other day in the offseason. So But get to see them and catch up on some old things and tell some stories before the game. That was pretty cool. So all in all, it's yesterday was fun, besides losing, obviously. But hopefully we can get a W against you guys tonight.
I saw when Howie hit his home run and he was rounding second, you kind of stared him down as he was passing you by there at the second base bag. Do you have any funny interactions between the lines with the guys that you care to share?
Oh, yeah. I said, wow, Howie. But last night, if you remember late in the game, Jan threw me out. I thought I made a good read as like running in quicksand. And we go way back as far when we used to play against other Twins and Indians, and he used to always throw me out. I would get up there, lead off the game. I'd be like, Jan, I'm gonna get a base hit here, and I'm gonna go. He's like, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't embarrass yourself. I do it every time, and he always throws me out. So I get on first last night. I almost made one dirt ball read, and I was like, I'm going. He's like, no, don't do it. Sure enough, I thought I made a good read, and freaking hosed me again, and text me last night after the game. I told you, buddy. So. And then in between innings, I proceeded to take a ball and throw in the dugout, and everyone scattered. So I wake him up a little bit.
Yeah, perfect. Keep him on his toes.
That's right.
You were only in D.C. for 1 year, Brian, but you quickly became a fan favorite, and you accomplished so much with this team and got to celebrate so much. Years down the road, what about your 1 year in D.C. do you think will be most meaningful to you?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to play for a lot of good teams, especially in Minnesota, L.A. experienced, and last year. And I'm going to tell you, it's all about the guys. I know winning a world championship, and that'll be something we'll always get together and celebrate for years to come till we're old and we can't walk. I get all that, but the team is what made it. The oldest team in baseball, all the veterans, we had fun. We knew how to have fun in the locker room, outside, all that kind of stuff. But it was game on when we went between the lines. And that was really important. And it goes to show you that when you're done playing baseball or wherever down the road, switching teams and all that, the relationships that you have and you build are off the charts. And last year was probably the most fun I've had, but also the biggest friendships that I'll take with me forever, that some of my best friends on the team last year that we talk like every other day. So that's the important thing. My wife, some of her best friends are the wives on last year's team. So that's the stuff that we'll take away down the road. So.
Scale of 1 to 1,000,000. How much have you enjoyed this?
I love it, man. I was last time you said that, I was I'm not going to say highly intoxicated, but I had a couple of drinks, and it was but that was fun times, man. I'd do it again for anything, for another drink.
No doubt. Sign me up. Good to catch up with you, Doge. We miss you, man.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
What a fun conversation with Brian Dozier. Thanks again to him, and a guy that even as a member of the Mets, I will still be pulling for. We like him that much. And rooting for him anywhere else that he happens to go in his career. Brian Dozier, a World Series champion here in D.C. forever. Champions wear gold, and you can, too. Get your commemorative gold jersey, cap, and merchandise at the Nationals Team Store or visit nationals.com/teamstore to order for curbside pickup. Also, the MLB app is the only place to get all your baseball action. In-game video highlights, live pitch-by-pitch, breaking news, player updates, stat leaderboard standings, and much more. Download the MLB app today, the number one app for live baseball. Nats Insider comes back after the break. Be joined by Jake Burns, the Executive Vice President of Business Operations, and Gregory McCarthy, a new guest here on Nats Insider. Very excited to talk to Gregory, who has been doing so many cool things in the D.C. community. Gregory is the Senior Vice President of Community Engagement. We'll have those conversations for you here on Nats Insider right after the break. Welcome back to Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko with you. Excited to be joined again by Jake Burns, the Executive Vice President of Business Operations for the Nationals. Jake, how you doing on this weekend against the Orioles? We got the birds in town for a weekend series.
Thanks, Dan. I'm doing great. We're always excited to be hosting the Orioles. And even though we can't have fans in the stands this year, we're obviously excited for the annual Beltway Series. That begins tonight at 6:05 p.m. on Masson and then continues tomorrow at 12:35 p.m. on Masson. And as I mentioned, if you remember last week, we talked a little bit about how this Sunday will be Pups from Home, which is obviously an extension of our Pups in the Park that we do in partnership with the Humane Rescue Alliance and our friends over at Budweiser. But we're planning to show a recording of fans and their rescue dogs cheering on the Nats on the main scoreboard during the game. And we've also got a fun interview with Max Scherzer about his love of dogs that we'll share with our fans as well. But we are encouraging our fans to join in the fun from home. Definitely take a picture of you with your favorite pup, showing your hashtag Natitude and share it on social media so that you can have fun with us.
Love that, and I look forward to seeing all of those pictures on the big board throughout the course of the entire Pups from Home event that you guys will be doing. Something else exciting that you guys have launching today. We talked about this briefly last week. Tell everybody listening at home yet again about the World Series ring raffle that you guys are doing.
Yeah, today the Nationals and Nationals Philanthropies are really excited to invite our fans to enter in for a chance to win their own genuine fitted 2019 World Series ring. The winner is going to have the opportunity to personalize their ring with their last name on the left side in yellow gold. It's just like what you see during the ring ceremony. It's just an amazing ring. That sweepstakes opens today and runs through October 3rd. So would encourage fans to visit natsringsweeps.com. That's natsringsweeps, natsringsweeps.com to make a $25 donation and enter for a chance to win. And obviously all proceeds will benefit Nationals Philanthropies, which is the charitable arm of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, so the same ring that all the players and the coaches got in terms of the design of it, and you can, whoever wins the raffle, am I right, Jake, they'll get their name inscripted on the side just like all the players and coaches did?
That's right, just like what you saw from Davey and Steven Strasburg and everybody else. It's really, really cool.
That's awesome. So go to natsringsweeps.com. Make your $25 donation and enter for a chance to win your very own World Series ring. That's incredibly cool. So, Jake, we've talked a little bit about what you guys are doing to try and bring the fan experience to people watching at home, even though they can't be at the ballpark. We've discussed a couple things over the last couple weeks, and one cool thing that you guys have rolled out is that you're bringing the stadium food to fans at home. They have an ability to get their favorite concessions items to their home so they can watch Nationals games and have their favorite stadium food. Tell us some more about that.
That's right. You're obviously referencing our Best Ballpark Bites Delivered program, which has honestly been extremely popular these first couple of weeks. And through that program, fans can, like you mentioned, bring the ballpark experience into their homes by ordering their favorite game day meals like Enzo's Pizza and Italian sausages and nachos and Cracker Jacks and everything else. Those meals serve 2 to 3 people and are delivered straight to your door. And obviously, we're doing it in a contactless manner. Orders for this homestand, anybody who places an order, rather, for this homestand is going to receive a free Victor Robles bobblehead, courtesy of our friends at Delta. And a few random lucky winners are also going to receive a foul ball from one of the games during this 2020 season. So orders can be placed up to midnight the day before the game. And if you're interested in learning more, please visit nationals.tryhungry.com.
That's very cool. And one other thing that we've discussed briefly in past weeks is a ticket offer that you guys are putting out there for the 2021 season. For those who aren't familiar with that, what are all the details and what are you guys doing to try and give fans the best experience possible when they are back in the ballpark?
Yeah, if you can't wait to be back at Nats Park, I just want to remind everyone that we recently announced an extension of our popular 50% bonus credit program, which we offer to all fans who are unable to attend games due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but then also extended it to any new 2021 season plan buyers as well. As a reminder, that 50% bonus credit can be used for additional tickets to Nationals exhibition or regular season home games played at Nats Park during the 2021 regular season, as well as individual game seat upgrades, food and beverage concessions and merchandise during the 21 regular season, or if you wanted to support with the Washington Nationals Philanthropies, you can use the bonus credit as a ticket donation to philanthropies or other Nationals charitable endeavors. Ticket plans begin at $18 per game, so very affordable plans. Our pricing is remaining flat from 2020. So if you're interested in learning more, please visit nationals.com/ticket finder.
Awesome stuff, Jake. Thanks so much for the time, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
And now I'm really pleased to be joined by Gregory McCarthy, the Senior Vice President of Community Engagement for the Washington Nationals. And Gregory, thank you so much for taking time. I know this is kind of a busy time for all you guys as you're trying to adapt to a season unlike one that we have ever experienced before. And you've got something cool coming up across Major League Baseball that is being recognized, but also you guys are doing some things specifically here in the D.C. community with the 100th anniversary of the Negro League. So I guess my first question to you is, you know, something that is so historic as we look back on the founding of the Negro Leagues, how you think that the Negro Leagues kind of tie into the contemporary impact of baseball and just how baseball is viewed today in our society?
Well, we think the 100th anniversary celebration of the Negro League is a wonderful device to actually have a learning moment for both kids and adults about the sport we love, baseball, and also the very complex issues about racial equity in our country. On Sunday, August 16th, league-wide, all the games will actually be themed to celebrate the 100th anniversary. So we encourage all of our fans to tune in, especially on Sunday, August 16th, for lots of in-game programming and information about the Negro League 100th anniversary celebration. And, you know, the whole story of the Negro Leagues, it encompasses all the human emotions. If you focus on the injustice and that precipitated the whole thing, it can make you mad and angry and sad even. But then you get inspired by how the ball players at the time were motivated to create their own league and their own experience, and their own love of the game came through against all the odds, against all the bigotry and racism that they were facing in the day. And indeed, they were ingenious. You know, the first game under the lights was a Negro League game that was necessitated because blacks were not allowed to play baseball during the day. So they had to improvise and created lights. So the first night game was courtesy of the Negro Leagues. And indeed, some of the best players in the history of our sport, you know, Josh Gibson, Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige, came from the Negro Leagues. And again, we're inspired by their athleticism, which is still legendary today. And then the Negro Leagues themselves became a great economic development tool for the African-American community. And they developed resources off of that. And we know that one of the impetus, actually, for integrating the leagues was the white owners saw the tremendous economic opportunity that they were lacking by having African-Americans go to separate games. So yet again, that speaks to the economic empowerment issues that African-Americans face today. And indeed, it's a great metaphor for contemporary history as well as history from the last century.
Gregory, how do you think that this specific event, the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, can be something that people of all backgrounds throughout our community can utilize as ways to view the social issues that we're seeing throughout our culture across the country today?
Well, we think everybody that loves baseball ought to understand how the sport evolved in terms of African-Americans participating. And we all know, as I said earlier, it was a very inauspicious start. But the sport evolved like the country did. And we became integrated in the 50s. But I think it begs the question of how do we think we've done since then? You know, when we look at the number of African-Americans we have playing the game, when we look at the number of African-Americans that are in the stands or not, do we think that transition to full participation, to full equity, has that been secured or is still a work in progress? And I think it's a work in progress. We still have a long ways to go. There's lots of evidence that, you know, communities of color don't feel connected to our game as much as we'd like them to. And it's incumbent upon everybody that loves the game to think about that and to see how our sport has evolved. And one of the ways that we've engaged that is we work with the Negro League Museum and a scholar at George Washington University to create a two-page fact sheet about the history of the Negro Leagues. as well as some discussion questions about how the Negro League experience is applicable to the issues we're confronting today in terms of racial equity. And we got the leaders of our 29 little leagues that participate in our Team Up uniform program and said, here's a brief history lesson. We had the Black Studies scholar as well as Negro Leagues expert talk to them and say, here's a discussion group. Why don't you go back with your kids and have some discussions about the Negro Leagues and how they think it affects play today? So, for example, we encourage them to say, how would you react if we told you that the stadium where you go now was off limits to your grandma or your grandpa because of their color? How do you think that would affect how you would look at the game today? And as you look at the game today, do you see racial equity in terms of who's in the stands and who's playing? Do you see the same type of resources in communities of color that more affluent communities have or white communities have? And the answer is we don't give them the answers. The answer is that those are discussions that we encourage people to have and think for themselves. And we got some great feedback from a few of our little leagues that said it was a great opportunity to engage kids. And you know, they see on the news the tremendous angst in our country about issues about racial equity, and they love baseball and how they can actually merge those two discussions. So we're going to push through with that. We're going to continue to encourage our little leagues to discuss this. And then we hope to take that concept and go to adult groups, to professional associations, to, you know, associations of faith-based organizations or professional development with the military and libraries, for example, and say, why don't you all use the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues as a launching point to talk about issues of racism in modern America? So we're continuing to evolve the sheet, and we hope to expand that program a lot in the coming months.
It's a fantastic way to continue the conversation. Gregory McCarthy, Senior Vice President of Community Engagement, taking this Negro League 100th anniversary and using it to help continue important conversations in our D.C. community. Gregory, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That will do it for Nats Insider this week. Nats and Orioles, second of a three-game set, 6:05 at Nationals Park later on today. My thanks to Denard Spann, our old friend, Brian Dozier, another old buddy, Jake Burns, and Gregory McCarthy for joining me on the show. Thanks to Vic Ferreira for running the board and putting everything together. And have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.